The Initial Reaction Podcast back with you once again. It's the playoffs for boys and girls basketball. We'll talk a little bit about that, among other things. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. I'm with Lake Country Publications and Now Newspapers.
See, the weird thing about that is that my name is J.P. Cadoran from Spectrum Sports, and I like you. So that's it.
I contend that, and I'm not sure I believe you, but do you think, JP, how many people do you think realize the name of our podcast, Initial Reaction, has something to do with the fact that our names are both initials? Do you think that's lost on people?
No. I would say 90% of the people who have clicked on it understand it.
Okay, sounds good. I wasn't sure if I should trust the audience, if we're not being explicit enough with the wordplay that we're operating with. You are a guy who likes things like that, like segues and whatnot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and puns. I'm very big on puns.
Yes, we learned a lot about that when I was your guest on the roundtable last week. That was kind of fun.
You came into my house, and I set the rules. I'm just kidding. I set no rules. Everybody above me sets the rules, and I just do what they want.
Yes. It was a good show, though, even that still. Can I tell you a funny thing about that? We did the show. Yeah. We did two shows last week, Thursday, Friday, on Time Warner Cable Sports, or formerly Time Warner Cable Sports Channel. Today you know it as Spectrum Sports. I'll get used to that eventually. We did two shows. It was JP hosting, and myself and Lance Davis were guests. And there's one point where you come back from break, and we have the little title card on the screen that says what high school game is coming up. In this case, it happened to be Brookfield East versus Brookfield Central, which I said to myself in my head, oh, I'm going to be at that game. I'm going to cover it, which I did last Friday. It was a nicely contested battle between the crosstown Brookfield rivals. Brookfield Central, by the way, is very, very good. But I didn't say that I was going to be there or anything. And I kind of wish I had, because it turns out Lance Davis refereed that game. He was there. Whoa. He was one of the three refs. And I saw him, and I thought, that can't be Lance Davis, because it just never occurred to me that that would be something he did. But not only that, now I realize I've seen him a few times around the circuit. He's a very good official, and that was pretty cool. Worlds collided, JP. It was very strange.
Honestly, mind blown a little bit there. That is nuts.
Yes, that is.
I'm going to make sure I watch the replay, not only to try and see you, but then to try and see him. And I feel like I'm going to succeed in seeing him.
You may succeed in seeing me as well. I'm sitting on press row for the boys' game, so I am available to the cameras.
Okay. Well, I just did a story on Brookfield Central using highlights from that game. You are correct. They are very good. I just made my picks for the final four teams in each division of boys' basketball.
Oh, very good.
WISSports.net. And Brookfield Central fans will like what I predicted to some degree.
I think I have not yet filled out that survey, and I wasn't asked for the girls, which is kind of weird. But or maybe I missed that email. I'm not sure. But I will pick the boys team to get through to Madison at this point, because here's the one thing facing Brookfield Central. They aren't very big, which is fine, because they seem to swarm to rebounds, and that's fine. But they're going to run into some pretty big teams, I would think, setting up to be a pretty exciting rematch between Central and East. East is the only team to beat Central this year. That would be on Saturday, March 4th in the regional final. And then probably Riverside in the sectional semifinal, which I think is going to be a really, really huge game. And you know, possibly Vincent after that. I think they're going to stay. That's what I would pick. The only worry is that if they run into a team that's got some size and some rebounding ability, that could give them problems.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to Coach Wondery about that, just kind of chatting with him, not for the feature I did or anything like that. And he was saying just how ridiculous this playoffs is going to be, because like you said, he could be facing Brookfield East, who is a team that already beat them, a decent team in the GMC. He could be facing them like basically right away, their second game, the regional final, and then go up against somebody like Milwaukee Riverside in a sectional semifinal, who has one of the top players in the state, in Terrence Lewis, and who has been an up and down team, but with some really good ups and some obvious potential there. And then to face somebody like, I mean, Vincent, who's been incredible, and Oak Creek, who's been one of the surprises and one of the best teams in the SEC, like, that's a lot of good teams you're going to have to get through. He specifically said, even somebody like Marquette, Milwaukee Marquette High School, is not a, you know, not a bona fide state challenger, but nobody wants to face them. You can guarantee that. So it was interesting just to hear his take on the playoffs that he has to face and his team has to face, because a lot of teams are really good, but in order to make it a state, you got to beat a ton of good teams.
Yeah, I think that's true for every path to state. There are not many that are easy, so
for sure.
So that's kind of par for the course. I also want to, we'll jump over to the girls real quick because their tournament is actually underway. We saw games get started on Tuesday. Some of the teams that are higher seeded, which is lower on the spectrum, they played on Tuesday, and we'll have some regional semifinals Friday and Saturday, with the boys tournament beginning next week. Also should point out, a special guest on this week's podcast is Eric Name, whom you interviewed, our massive Milwaukee Bucks expert, bringing his knowledge to the game today.
Yeah, he's one of the most like fun people I've talked to and seen out, and especially to follow on Twitter. Just the way that he just goes on like Bucks, I don't want to say rants or tirades, but just for a long time, he'll just dive down into a topic. And now with the trade deadline coming up, he's a really good source of information. And so we chatted for a couple of minutes, you could say, about some good stuff about the Bucks.
Milwaukee Bucks, of course, in the news right now for a number of reasons. One is Giannis just played in the All-Star game, which was fun if you like dunks and optional defense. Then Jabari Parker's injury is kind of still top of mind for a lot of people. And the trade deadline is Thursday afternoon. Some talk that the Bucks would be heavily involved. Maybe the crazy rumor as of Wednesday, as we're recording this, Damian Lillard, the Portland Trailblazers star guard, might be somebody the Bucks are after. I've also seen, even as we've been recording this podcast, that those rumors are patently false. So who knows if that's going to happen or if anything's going to happen, but certainly a lot of people thinking Milwaukee Bucks right now, if they can take that next step, if what they should sort of do going forward. They can't really tank at this point. They can't really make an upper-level playoff push for an upper-level seed. So it's sort of a weird, you know, middle ground where they've been before. But I think everybody's kind of curious what comes next for the Milwaukee Bucks. Anyway, girls basketball. And, JP, I know that I'm maybe going into some foreign territory for you. I know you guys don't get to a lot of those games. But there was one thing I wanted to point out in Division II, which I'm really interested in. They do the seed meeting, you know this, they do the seed meetings before the end of the season, right? So there's always a couple games that get played after teams know their playoff destiny.
Oh boy.
So,
oh boy.
In Division II, the Pewaukee girls, unquestionably one of the best teams in the state. They're the best third place team in state history. I'm just going to say it. Because they got off to a little bit of a slow start, lost three conference games to three tough teams, have avenged all three of those losses with resounding bounce backs. And that includes the top seed in this bracket, New Berlin West, who had a very good year, excellent year, and then won their first conference title, shared it with Eisenhower, first conference title since 96, but then they ended up losing at the end of the year to Pius, or I should say to Pewaukee, and then again to New Berlin Eisenhower, so, and that came after the seed meeting. Eisenhower's the three, Pewaukee's the two. Those two teams have to get, one of them's not going to make it to see New Berlin West, the one seed. So I think if this had been seeded out at the end of the season, we would have seen Pewaukee as the one seed, or even Eisenhower as the two, and New Berlin West down as the three based on recent outcomes, but as it stands, New Berlin West with their great year is number one. I think Pewaukee girls are really primed to break through this glass ceiling. They've never been to state, and I think this is their time. They've got some really impressive outcomes racked up, including a big win over Germantown late in the year. So I think that's my team. That's going to go to state out of that Division II bracket in the Milwaukee area.
Yes, that is not a surprise. You have been trumpeting both Pewaukee teams pretty much all year.
Yes.
Yes, for good reason. So I'm not at all trying to besmirch them. But no, that's not a surprise. You're also a seeding guy. That's kind of your other thing, is that when it comes to WIAA playoffs, you're big on finding equitable ways to seed them and, you know, whether it should be seeded at the state tournament or not. That's your shtick, isn't it?
I mean, I suppose it is. I don't think this is inequitable. I don't really think this is. I think the way they do it is okay. I'm just saying that it's sort of a timing thing. It helps that their resume was already looking good on paper before the late stages of the season, because I think they would have gotten leapfrogged there if we had done this at the end. I don't think you can really do it at the end. Well, actually, I don't know if you can do it at the end. I'll have to ponder that. I do know with state wrestling coming up. You said you're going to that. There are all kinds of messes in those brackets every year. Because they don't seed those wrestlers. They could seed at least eight of them or something like that. So I am a big fan of seeding. That's by far the toughest of the sports, I think, to seed would be wrestling. But I'm a fan of more seeds all the time. Plant seeds everywhere, JP.
Fair enough. I am so excited to see what seeds get where in Wrestling Saturday. I don't think I went last year. I can't remember why. I'm trying to think what I had going on. But I'm excited to get back to the Kohl Center because that is so much fun. I don't know if it's best to dive into it this week or next week after I've been there. Will you be there on Saturday, or will you be basketballing it up?
Supremely doubtful that I'm there on Saturday, but we could still talk about it. I've been there many, many times before.
Yeah, it is one of the loudest, most energetic, also one of the longest events I've been to. It's worth it. I don't follow these wrestlers, you know, throughout the whole year, but I do a quick cram session on Saturday once they've all advanced to the finals and just love it because there's three mats going at once. Everybody in the crowd is yelling. Usually there's like somebody going for a fourth title. Almost always they get it because once you're that good to win one state three times,
you're going to get another one.
Chances are you're pretty good. So I don't think there's one of those this year. There are some kids going for their third titles, though. I'm just so excited to get there on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that. A couple of Pewaukee kids going for back-to-back titles as well. Since I love Pewaukee, let's talk more about
that.
I do up on LakeCountryNow.com. You can find my Preps Alcove about, if you're a Lake Country sports fan, 10 great recent wrestling championship matches that are 10 great moments, I suppose you could say, from the state tournament, including some mentions of everyone's favorite Olympian, Ben Askren. There was a match between another Olympian, Jesse Thilke of Germantown, and Jake Soufflone of Arrowhead both of them went on to win multiple state titles after that, so that was kind of a cool moment in time. So took a look at the state wrestling meet and some of my favorite moments, having covered it as many times as I have. I'm sorry I won't be able to join you this particular time, but my guy Evan Frank will be there watching all the big matches.
That's fine. I'm going to drink all of your Mr. Pibb allotment. I'm going to drink all of it. And the sun drop, it's all going to be mine.
That is not a thing I do. But I will say, if we're going back to girls basketball before we move on from that, another game to keep in mind in the regional level Friday night, Menominee Falls, Sussex Hamilton, one of the best local rivalries around between those two schools. Hamilton's the fifth seed, won the Greater Metro. They should win, but at the end of this regular season, Menominee Falls beat them. So in that 5-12 matchup, not as one-sided as the seeds would suggest. So keep an eye on that one. I'm very curious also to see where the Arrowhead girls wind up. I'm projecting down the line a bit of an upset. I think Homestead could get into that sectional semifinal. I really like what they have with Marquette recruit Chloe Marotta. I think that could be a great matchup between Homestead and Arrowhead.
Nice. We have boys basketball on Friday. I think girls on Saturday. Friday we have Riverside against Vincent.
Not in the playoffs.
No, not playoffs. Season finale, Riverside Vincent. And then Saturday is girls, but we don't know those teams until they play their games before that. So
that's true.
We'll have basketball that maybe you will be there as well.
This is true. You should, and we don't need to go too deep in on the boys yet because we will have them next week. I didn't know if anything jumped out at you in the boys' brackets. Friday night game, March 3rd, again, this is Homestead Germantown, certainly has some intrigue because both programs are close in proximity, but both those teams are down a little bit. That's an 8-9 matchup. The Battle of Brookfield, like I said, could happen in the Saturday, March 4th game. Anything else that you saw that jumped out at you?
I'm really curious, and I know this is of little interest to you, but I'm really curious about Oshkosh North, who is state, and they're matched up in the same bracket as Stevens Point, which I think is really interesting. I know they've kind of disappointed most of the year, or not disappointed, but, you know, they're not living up to last year's team or what probably a lot of outside people expect of them. So I'm really curious what happens with them and how far they can go. Other than that, no, I don't have too many favorites this year or too many teams that I've totally been checking in on and watching all season long to see what happens to them. So I'm just an observer at this point up until the state tournament.
Sounds good. New Berlin Eisenhower is my sleeper on the boys' side. They'd have to get through my team, Pewaukee, to get to state, but they played some pretty good basketball at the end of the year. And I'm very curious to see what Brown Deer does. I think they're an interesting prospect in Division II. Brown Deer Cedarburg sectional semifinal is a possibility. I really like that if that happens. That's going to be a really good game. So just some thoughts there.
There we go.
That's actually a regional final. My bad. Regional final on Saturday. That'd be great.
So did you watch any of the NBA All-Star game?
I watched a lot of it, actually. And I think it's become a spite thing with me where everyone talks about how awful it is. And I just kind of try to enjoy it as much as I can. And I do. It's garbage basketball. But who watches basketball for the defense anyway? I mean, Dick Bennett was an expert at defense. And everybody complained about how that wasn't basketball either. So why not let the greatest athletes in the world run the floor and do amazing things and have fun and lay down when Giannis comes storming down the court for a dunk and just stay out of the way? Like, I'm good with that. It's a total entertainment exercise. It doesn't decide who gets to host the World Series. So I'm fine with the way it's set up.
Yeah. I think the Steph Curry moment of laying down on the floor when Giannis came was probably the highlight.
Yes, yeah.
Just a pure enjoyment. That might be the best moment. I thought, like, with Giannis getting his 30 points, I don't think it's impressive, because basically, like, if he wanted to, if anybody wanted to, they could have gotten 30 points. The only thing was, like, Giannis decided he wanted to. Westbrook and, like, Anthony Davis were the only three that decided they wanted to try. The rest just didn't want to. So I don't think it's impressive, but I think it's really cool. Like, I had so much fun watching it, enjoying knowing that he was a Milwaukee Buck, knowing that he was, you know, one of our guys that we've watched over the last, like, 3 years. That it was really cool to me. I wouldn't say it was impressive, though.
Well, I would agree with that. I think there were reasons why those three happened to come to mind. First of all, Anthony Davis playing in front of his home crowd. Everything is sort of designed to get him the MVP trophy there, so not a surprise to see him going a little bit more at a higher gear than some of his teammates. Russell Westbrook is insane and is bound to be playing at a high gear no matter what, even if it's like a pickup game with his kids. So
yeah,
that's not a surprise. And Giannis, this was really a showcase for him, and I really felt like all of the events were tailored to that. I really saw a lot of Giannis that week, and it seemed like everyone in the NBA is sort of propping him up. He's ready for his close-up, so to speak, and he's already been on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I think this is pretty much the year of Giannis nationally, and it would be for sure if the Bucks were one of the top teams in the East, which they're not, but still, I felt like this was the time where he really gets to be a little bit spotlighted, and I would be surprised if you see the same level of Giannis at future All-Star games, which there will be many of. So this was his event. So I was very happy to see how that played out. I liked seeing Giannis being one of the better guys on the floor, quote unquote, better guys.
Agreed. And I think to your point about how much he was in the spotlight, like I think other perennial All-Stars kind of knew that and were kind of enjoying him and enjoyed kind of feeding him a little bit of, you know, I think they were kind of propping him up too to get him, not like to get him publicity, but more of just basically having fun with somebody new. You know, so I think that was part of it as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I did enjoy it, though. It was mindless background noise. My family happened to be out of town. I was doing work around the house. It was the perfect event to have on while that was going on. Certainly no interest in the outcome or whether or not anybody played any defense.
Correct, even though it looks like the West will now be hosting the NBA Finals, right? They get the...
Yeah, like I said, that garbage doesn't come into play, and won't in baseball either. So with baseball, of course, spring training going on right now, we can look forward to a world where the All-Star Game does not matter as much as it has in the past. Thank goodness.
Hooray!
So
well,
let's get
to Eric, because he's smarter than we are. He is a decent, you know, I don't want to prop him up and say like this, I'm bringing on my best friend, but he's a good guy, and I want you all to follow him and listen to this interview because he dropped some knowledge.
Well, beautiful Eric, thank you for joining us. To start, before we even go any further, what is your background? Where are you from? How did you become even like interested in the Bucks, let alone becoming my favorite go-to expert on the Bucks?
I'm originally from Slinger, Wisconsin.
Woo, go Owls, right?
Hoot hoot. So I'm in the area. And then I went to school in St. Louis, played a little basketball there in college. I ended up going to grad school at Kansas State University, and then I ended up back here in Milwaukee at ESPN Milwaukee.
Nice. And everything's good? You're liking the radio life, the Bucks life? And then you do Brewers too, right?
I do. Yeah. Okay. So ESPN Milwaukee, I'm kind of the I produce stuff, and then I'm kind of the reporter guy, so I head out to Miller Park and head out to the Bradley Center.
Cool.
So I'm enjoying it.
Beautiful. Well, there's our background, so everybody's caught up to speed on just who you are. So start with some easy questions here. The easiest one I can think of, what year will the Bucks win an NBA title? When is this thing going to happen?
Oh, that is an easy question. I'm going to go with 2023. No, I think that's about right. Probably, they're probably still a little bit of ways away.
Yeah.
Probably 4 years away or so, because you have to – Giannis is just now entering his prime, so you'd have to assume you'd want him at the peak of his powers, which
sure.
At this point seems impossible to even try to figure out where it is, because he just gets exponentially better every single year. So maybe there is no peak to his powers, and maybe there is no peak to his prime. But I assume there is, and it's probably around 25 or 26. So that's 3 to 4 years from now.
Okay. And the thought of, like, taking this incremental steps, like, what if they get really, really close next year? Is that ahead of schedule? Is there even a schedule? I mean, what? How do we process what we're seeing in terms of progress?
See, I think that's one of the bigger misconceptions about NBA basketball. Like, you're just good when you're good.
Yeah.
There's no steps to this. There's no process to this. Even though I do trust the process, there is no process to this at all. It can just kind of happen. And I guess kind of when you have such great talent, like the Bucks did when it was Jabari getting much better, as he was getting older, and Giannis getting much better, the Thunder all of a sudden just had a 50-win season, and then they were winning 50 games a year for 4 or 5 years in a row, because Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant were transcendent talent, and that can happen. And Giannis is one of those guys, and Jabari might have been one of those guys. Now, obviously, that kind of throws the timeline off, again, if there was a timeline. So you do have to temper your expectations a little bit, but Giannis is a top 10 NBA player. He just is. It's as simple as that. So at this point, you would expect at some point that leap to occur, and you would expect them to become a good basketball team at some point, if through anything, just through Giannis's sheer willpower, because he is that good of a basketball player.
Yeah, and so let's dive into that Giannis rabbit hole then. Like, how do we process what we're even seeing right now? Because there hasn't been a lot of players like him. I mean, this is like an hour podcast on its own, and you do a podcast as well, what, every day, right?
Yep, every day, Locked On Bucks.
Yeah, and I just don't know how to even start this conversation or where it would even go, other than how do you describe what this guy is doing?
That's a great question. I struggle with that daily. Yeah. I struggle with it every time I watch him play the game of basketball, but I guess this is the way to look at it, is I'm working on a piece right now for ESPN Milwaukee where you can kind of see his evolution. And during those first 2 years, his role was relatively simple. Like, he was just there. He was kind of trying to figure out what I am as a basketball player. I mean, this was a guy that came off the streets of Greece, was playing in the Greece B League against 40-year-olds. Like, he hadn't really played high level basketball. So for the first 2 years, he's trying to figure out who he is. Third year, last year, all of a sudden he's like, oh, I'm really good at this. I'm better than pretty much everyone else that I'm playing. And it was just kind of shocking. And with him, it's so strange to talk to him after games. Last year, I started to kind of catch just the slightest strip of it. Was he'd have a big game, or he'd make some great play, and you'd ask him about it, and you'd be like, wow, did you think you could do that? Or, man, it was surprising that you did that. And he was just like, I mean, that's just kind of what I can do. And at the moment, I was like, man, like, he should think this is exciting. Like, this is like a kind of a moment for him to be like, wow, and just have that crystallize. And he never seems to have those moments, because he just thinks this is what's normal. And for him, it is. Like, he's a 6'11 point guard that can block shots, that can pass, that can dribble, that can see the floor, that can do all these special things. And he just never really has those moments. Like, earlier this year when they beat the Cavs at home, there was a sequence in the fourth quarter where he just backed down LeBron James. And LeBron James is 6'8", 270 pounds. Giannis is not bad yet. he's still a little on the skinny side. And I asked him about that sequence, and I was like, in your head, did you think, okay, like, I belong here. I belong on the same floor as LeBron James, one of the five greatest basketball players of all time. And he kind of backed off and said, well, you know, I was just trying to make a play. But in my head, I'm looking at it thinking, this is incredible. The Milwaukee Bucks, for the first time in since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, have a transcendent talent that could be one of the three best players in the NBA, maybe the best player in the NBA in 5 years. And to me, that's amazing. To me, that's hard to comprehend. But to him, that's just normal. And I think that's kind of the part that's been cool to watch, is for him, all this stuff is normal. And on Sunday, you see him go to the All-Star game and score 30 points and see everyone fawn over him. You see Steph Curry jokingly go to the floor to try to avoid being on a poster. And then 5 plays later, he's on Giannis's poster. Like, he's just an incredible basketball player. And like you said, it's difficult to comprehend, and we could talk for a day about it and still not get to the bottom of it.
Yeah. And like, with the All-Star game, like I told this to JR earlier in the podcast, like, what he did in the All-Star game to me wasn't that impressive, because it was like, if you decided you wanted to score 30 points in that game, you could have. Giannis and Russell Westbrook were the only two, and Davis were the only two that decided. So I'm just saying, like, it wasn't impressive, but it was really cool to watch, because it was a Bucks player, and just pure watching him is just pure awesome. So that was my take on it. But so we have Giannis as this superstar. Maybe Jabari, maybe Chris Middleton as, you know, maybe not superstar, but, you know, very good. I don't know, maybe all-star. And I say that in the context of, is this method going to work? We talked about that championship before, but just from a pure competitive standpoint of building a consistent contender, is this method of, you know, they found Giannis and Jabari, and now they're trying to kind of supplement it with, I guess, trades is probably their main tactic when you think of Monroe, I guess, being in there, or I don't know. I mean, is what they're doing going to work?
That's a very difficult question and a very good one. It's just difficult in a small market like Milwaukee. You kind of have to try to figure out the different ways to do this. And I think acquiring free agents becomes easier when you have one of the best players in the league. Like, I think, like you said, with the All-Star game, sure, it wasn't super impressive because no one was playing hard. But the guy on the floor that the rest of the All-Stars were kind of gawking at and kind of looking at like, wow, what did that guy just do? With Giannis. And those are the 20 best basketball players on the face of the planet.
Yeah.
So those guys are seeing that, and the rest of the league is seeing that. So maybe it is a little bit easier to try to go after a big free agent. And the Monroe signing, though it hasn't worked out perfectly, it was kind of one of those things where ownership comes in, and now they can have the confidence to go out there and recruit these free agents and get them to actually sign. So I think that avenue is maybe a little bit more open now than it had been in the past. And with trades, I do think that's kind of a thing that the Bucks are going to have to try to explore. And John Hammond is never really scared to make moves. He makes plenty of trades, and maybe they've been a little bit of smaller trades thus far, but maybe all of a sudden you do have to start talking about bigger trades. And I think the big thing with John Hammond is definitely the draft. And with Hammond, he loves taking young guys, and he loves taking guys that, I mean, he swings for the fences. That's as much as you can say. And I think that's a huge compliment for him. He swings for the fences in the draft. And when you're not picking in the top five and instead you're picking from 10 to 20, that can pay off. And I think when you look at it with Thon Maker, obviously there's been a bunch written about him. People talk about him, about how special could this kid be. You keep hearing the word KG thrown around, which is just kind of insanity because Kevin Garnett's one of the 10 to 20 best basketball players of all time. But at the same time, you can kind of see when you go to a practice and you see Thon shooting threes or blocking shots or get a little bit of game time, you can see what people mean by that. So, again, it's really tough to say that this core specifically is the core that's going to get them to where they need to be.
Yeah. But
at the same time, there's enough good pieces there that maybe you're one piece away, and maybe the Jabari injury is a blessing in disguise, and now instead of having to sign him to a max contract, you can sign him to a smaller contract. And
smaller. Not small, just smaller.
Smaller. But, I mean, that's kind of how teams have won. Like, if you look at how the Warriors win, Steph Curry got signed to a super cheap contract because no one trusted his ankles because they thought they were made of glass. So they got a huge discount on him, and then they were able to spend money in other areas where they wouldn't have been able to. So maybe if Jabari can miraculously come back from a second ACL tear, again, that's not a pressure you want to put on a young guy, but if he can do that and you sign him at a cheaper rate, all of a sudden you have a little bit more wiggle room. You maybe have a few moves that you can make in the trade market where you can get a guy that's a little bit more expensive than maybe you'd prefer, but you have that luxury because you have that extra space. So, I mean, the biggest thing in NBA is having a star. And yeah. you just saw Giannis score 30 points in an All-Star game and start an All-Star game at 22. So you've done that. That's the hardest part, is finding a star. You got one. Now you got to go and find two, and three, and four, or find 2 through 7 on a roster that are all very good, and maybe not stars, but very good. So there's still plenty of work to do, but they got a star. So that's a major win.
So this is the existential question that has always completely baffled me when it comes to the NBA. I did not play any sort of organized basketball growing up, like not even fifth grade. I don't understand the NBA, like, and so many people get this question, and I'm curious if you're one of them. There are so many players that are like a good player. Probably like we can use Greg Monroe, we can use Delly, we can use somebody in the past, maybe even like Steven Jackson. Somebody is a good player, Richard Jefferson even, just to bring up all the positive names of this team's history. Somebody that's a good player. And are good on like maybe 20 NBA teams, but not on a different team. And I'm not talking about like locker room chemistry either. It also goes with like, they're good as the second unit, but not on the first unit. How does that work? And how does it work with this Bucks team? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Sure. I do think the NBA is maybe more fit dependent than a lot of other sports, where with a baseball team, if you can hit, you can hit. And it's kind of a one-on-one matchup. It's you versus the pitcher, and you're going to be able to hit, and that's fine. And maybe you'll struggle in the field, but whatever, you can hit, and you'll find a place for it. And that hitting is going to carry over wherever you go. And in football, maybe you're a running back, and maybe you'd be better in this system, but you have enough talent that you're going to be good no matter what.
But sure.
Basketball, it's just such a strange, maybe a chemistry between – 5 different players, and those other 4 players that are on the floor with you matter so much. Like in the NFL, if you have a great quarterback, that quarterback's great, period, no matter what, no matter where he goes. But in the NBA, that might not be the same. Maybe the offense you run doesn't put you in the places you like to be. Maybe the players you play with don't get you the ball in the spot that you want it. Maybe you're not totally comfortable shooting shots coming off a screen from the left side, and this offense only does that. So you want to be on the right side, but that's not how this offense works. So I just think there's so much that fit matters, a feel matters, how you feel in that place. Is it a good organization? Is it a bad organization? There's just so many busts that you see in the NBA where you think, man, I wonder what would have happened if this guy got drafted by the Spurs or whoever you want it to be, by the Warriors, whatever. If they got picked by that team, maybe does that team figure something out that the other team couldn't? So I don't know. It is certainly a phenomenon that seems to happen more in the NBA than other places. But I would struggle to try to explain why exactly it happens more there. Basketball just is its own strange chemistry. Like you got to put different things in and see how it works.
Yeah, and so like Delly and Moose are probably like the two most obvious examples I can think of like they could have success somewhere. And I say that because I feel like Delly doesn't really fit here, and I feel like Monroe kind of does, maybe like didn't last year but does this year. Am I right?
Yeah, no, I think about 2 or 3 weeks ago I wrote something on ESPN Milwaukee about how the Bucks this offseason targeted fit, and the idea was, we want these guys to fit as well as any players can with Giannis. So Giannis can't shoot a lot. So we need guys that can shoot threes. So you go out and you get Delly and you get Mirza Teletovic. Both of them can shoot threes. And with Delly at a point guard spot, okay, well, we have this wing guy that can make a ton of plays, and maybe he plays point guard sometimes and he's 6'11 and he's crazy. who do we have as a guy that can work with that? Well, let's find the other guy in the league that's played with a freak of nature like that. Oh, LeBron James, and Delly's played with him. So logically, this should all work. But if the Bucks offense isn't quite the same as that, if Delly's not getting the ball in the same spots, if Delly isn't quite comfortable with all these things, well, then maybe he's going to struggle a little bit. And some of it too is just the fact that he's adjusting to a new environment. He's never played on this team before. And like you brought up Greg Monroe, that was part of it for Monroe. Like the Bucks defense was asking him to do things that he hadn't done before. The Bucks offense was putting him in places where he hadn't been before. And the Bucks offense was kind of asking him, hey, we paid you all this money, now you got to be this scorer, when maybe Greg's better suited as a scorer at times, but also more of a playmaker. And the Bucks kind of needed that buffer year to figure out where he is. Now, I wouldn't necessarily be surprised if next year Dele has an offseason to watch film, the Bucks have an offseason to make slight adjustments to their offensive and defensive schemes, and then all of a sudden Dele looks like a lot better player next year. Because, it's just tough to get used to 13, 14 new teammates. So it could certainly happen that, like Greg Monroe, Dele is much better next year.
Sure. All right. So this year, are we making the playoffs? What are we talking here?
So this is a tough spot. They're game out right now, 27 games left. They have 8 of the next 10 games at home. So coming off the All-Star break, 8 of the next 10 at home. They end the season 12 of the final 17 on the road. And part of that is the NCAA tournament will be here in the second week of March or whatever it is. So let's call that the road to the Final Four road trip that the Bucks are on. But it's a 6-game West Coast road trip because the Bradley Center is going to be filled with something else. So that schedule means you got to get some work done here coming off these first 2 to 3 weeks after the All-Star break. So if you're trying to figure out if the Bucks are going to make the playoffs, the next 2 weeks are probably going to tell you all that you need to know,
because
12 of the final 17 on the road, I mean, you can't really give yourself much leeway there. Like you got to give yourself some room by winning a bunch of these next 10 games, and then maybe you can struggle a little bit on the road. So I would say their game back right now, I guess they've looked awful.
Yeah.
Before the All-Star break. They won the final 3 before the All-Star break, but before that, I think they lost 12 of 14. They looked really bad. And it would be tough for me to say that they're going to look much better after the All-Star break. So I'll say no.
Yeah.
With the caveat that the Eastern Conference 6 through 8 is a total disaster.
Yeah.
There's a chance.
Like almost more importantly than that is like, does it matter? So like, whether they make it in as a 6th, 7th, or 8th seed, I don't know. Like once Middleton went down at the start of the year, like I almost chalked this year up to a loss to begin with. And then there was some false hope when they were like 5th in the East for a while, and then this losing streak. So I don't know. Like, does this matter? Do we want them to make the playoffs, or obviously do we want them to go even lower and get a lottery pick? You know, it's, This is like the annual question for the Bucks, isn't it?
Yeah, in many ways it has been. And I think in many ways most fans are tired of the 8th seed. That's not something they want to see. That was kind of always the Herb Cole way, was, hey, let's make sure we get into the playoffs and get that extra playoff money and make sure that we're putting a team that people want to come watch. And people are tired of that. They want lottery picks. They want to see this team get better. And like we outlined before, there's only a finite number of ways that you can actually get better, one of them being the draft. So my opinion isn't particularly popular. I would say most people that listen to my podcast don't like this opinion.
Yeah.
But I think it would be best for the Bucks to make the playoffs.
Sure.
At some point, Giannis just has to get playoff reps.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that a lot of people don't think about with the playoffs is, with the playoffs, you see the same team 4 times, 5 times, 6 times, or 7 times. You see them that many times in a row. When you see them that many times in a row, they know all your sets. They know everything that you want to do. So then your preparation has to go to another level. You have to figure out, okay, they figured out our first, second, and third option are on this play. Do we scrap this play? Do we go to our fourth option? How do we continue to survive as a team? And that hasn't been something Giannis has seen as the main guy on the team. He got that playoff experience in Jason Kidd's first year, but that was just as a bit player, not as the man. So you want to see Giannis go through that. And I think going through that kind of reveals what your biggest weaknesses are. It reveals what you need to work on most. And I think that would be super, super helpful for the Bucks going into the summer. Also, this is the really unpopular part of my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to be whatever seed they need to be to play the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is. People don't like it because the Bucks have already played a LeBron-led team and they saw him get swept and it was terrible. But that's not this Bucks team isn't the Brandon Jennings, Monte Ellis Bucks. This is the Giannis Antetokounmpo Bucks. So you want to see Giannis go head-to-head with LeBron. And after the Bucks beat him, they trash-talked him and said, yeah, well, we'd be cool seeing him in the playoffs for four games and kind of talked trash and said they were going to sweep him. So let's have it happen. Like, let's see him. And if you can steal a game from LeBron, I think stealing a game from LeBron, the Cavs might be better than winning a playoff series somewhere else, which might be heresy to say. I understand.
Yeah.
But
I gotcha.
That experience is, I mean, just tantamount to their future success.
Yeah, and I think as far as making the playoffs goes, like, in the big picture of things, yes, getting the number one overall pick is better than getting the eighth seed and getting swept. But when you look at the realities of this Bucks team, the number one pick is not at play, right? And like, we know the percentage, there's a point whatever chance of getting it if they end up, you know, just missing out on the playoffs. But in reality, they're either, you know, if we're talking Eastern Conference, they're anywhere from 10th to 6th, right? If like their final standing is where that's going to be, which is a difference in draft picks of like four players, you know, maybe five or six, depending on what the West does. So to me, I'm kind of with you in that getting the A seed in the playoffs is better than being, you know, 10th or 11th. Maybe being 15th would be better because you could get a very high draft pick, but I'm kind of with you on that. But I think at this point, it does help you to make it. So I think you've convinced me.
Excellent. That was all I came here to do, to convince you of something, no matter how asinine it was.
You did. Success. I don't think I'm buying into the one game of LeBron versus a win somewhere else. But
we'll try that next time.
Correct. We'll start there.
I'll try to get that.
Well, cool, buddy. Thanks for joining us. This is it's Eric_name, NEHM. He is one of my favorite people to follow on the Twitter. Got that Lockdown Bucks podcast I've heard a few times as well. I appreciate it, bud. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Well, there you go. That's our chat with Mr. Name. He is, like I advertised, he is smart and smarter than me, and it's fun to kind of get some questions that I had off my chest and talk about how great Giannis is and how to process it. So that was good. I feel better after that.
Yes, I'm glad that that you do. I already knew Giannis was amazing, so that was not a surprise to me. But I am super curious to see in the short term how this team does, because I do believe that Chris Middleton for Jabari Parker is a straight swap in the short term is not that much of a downgrade, and because of the defensive boost, even though Chris Middleton is not a wizard on defense, he's better than Jabari was. Jabari's still improving, and I still think that this might be a little bit better team continuity wise. And that's maybe a reach. I don't know. Obviously, losing a star is going to hurt your team, but I know long term there's really not a lot to be happy about with the Jabari Parker injury. Long term, this is a big blow. But I still think this Bucks team, I've said before, I'm leaning toward them not making the playoffs. I still think that, but I'd be willing to be swayed based on the outcome of the first few games after the All-Star break.
Yeah, like I just said with Eric, I think I'm pretty set on I want them to make the playoffs. I think that the difference between the 12th overall pick and 18th overall pick isn't enough to not get playoff experience to favor that. So right now I certainly hope they make it. Their schedule is not easy. They play, Eric broke down the home and road splits on it, but there are also a very unfavorable split of playoff teams versus non-playoff teams. So it's going to be difficult, but as we saw right before the break, not during their losing streak, as we saw right before the break, they certainly have the talent to do it. So I hope they do, because it'll be a lot more fun to watch the playoffs if they're in it.
You drive by that arena every day. It's kind of exciting to go down there and see the progress, how fast it is.
Goodness. It is. I did not anticipate how cool this would be, but I do work about two blocks from where the new arena is going up, so I legitimately see it every day. And it's amazing to see how quickly it has come together. And you're right, just the size of it. It's not, I don't think it's going to be taller than the Bradley Center, but you don't realize like how big those buildings are until you try and build another one 40 feet away from where the other one is. So that is awesome. The practice facility, like the outside, the exterior is done for the most part. It's not decorated with the final paneling or whatever. But like the structure itself is up. The parking structure is almost done. It's, you know, they've been good about getting their aerial pics out, both the Bucks and like the Business Journal and stuff like that. But you have to drive by downtown just to take a quick look at it. It's right off the highway. You can be on your way in a minute. It is awesome to watch, though. And like you said, I have a front row seat. It's so fun.
I did mention what was on Lake Country Now at my Preps Alcove, some wrestling material, 10 great matches from Lake Country's recent past. There's plenty of other coverage of the postseason, boys basketball, girls basketball, boys swimming championship just wrapped up, Waukesha South Catholic Memorial as expected won. You can find my whole story and photos at WaukeshaNow.com. We also have, like I said, coverage of all the other sports going on, so be sure to check out My Community Now and LakeCountryNow.com as we head toward the final stages of the quote-unquote winter sports season. What about you, JP, on Spectrum Sports?
I see what you did there. Well, I already plugged the our games coming up this weekend. The one thing I'll say is that chances are if you're listening to this podcast, you're aware of my show, Sports Weekly, so chances are you already have it on DVR. This week, don't delete it to make room more room for The Bachelor, because I think you should watch it. There's a story on the Freedom Wisconsin wrestling team, and I know that's not the Milwaukee area, but it was just cool how they've tied kind of like a generational thing into their program and how they have the former head coach for 20 years is now an assistant, and they have every other assistant has all wrestled there, and we talked about kind of their wrestling wall and what it means to get up there and what their sport means to their community, because it's just a tiny little town north of Appleton, and to be good at something is an accomplishment for them, and they are good at wrestling. So that was a fun story to put together. So tune into that one. That's my only request.
Not far from my old stomping grounds at Kakana. We are neighbors with Freedom. Occasionally had some people I knew that lived in Freedom who went to Kakana. So yeah, I'm good. I'll watch it.
There you go. So don't delete it and make more room for The Bachelor, please.
You are on a thing right now where you want to mention The Bachelor on every one of our podcasts.
Okay, but Fantasy Suite Letdown is in second place right now, and I need to have another good week and try and make my climb up to number one. This fantasy league is running my winter.
The Initial Reaction podcast is available on iTunes and Stitcher. We talk about prep sports and not a whole lot more that you'd be interested in other than maybe some pros every now and again. Hope you enjoyed today's listening extravaganza. JP, it's going to be a fun week, man. Wrestling's a good time. Basketball playoff stuff. It's a good time. This is great. I love the winter postseason. It is so much fun.
This is fun. The next 6 weekends of mine are going to be covering big time events between state tournaments and then hopefully some deep March Madness runs. So
yes,
let's get going.
Thanks to Eric Nave for joining us on the show this week. Stick around for next week at future editions of the podcast. We'll talk about boys basketball next week and more. Thanks for listening, everybody.
JR, thank you for your time. It's appreciated.